listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, June 24th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here.
The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. We'll begin tonight, as always, with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief, and those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Always a great way to get our evening started, and tonight's topic is the metaphysical lessons from the natural world. So, we were talking a little bit before the broadcast, and Dr. Hunter said it's my topic, so I should lead, and that's just a horrible idea, but I'm going to go ahead and rant for a little bit. But one thing I'll say is that, you know, when you try to understand our awareness, what it means to be human, what it means to exist in this world, you can look at nature as a sort of a test. It's a, well, that's not quite right. It would be an example. You can look at, well, I have a theory that anything that you find in humanity, really, you'll find somewhere in nature. We have this habit as human beings to kind of divorce ourselves from nature, to say that there's the natural world and then there's us. But that's just not true. We're part of the natural world. We are of the natural world. We have those same things within us, and everything that's within us is found in nature somewhere. So we can look to nature to find examples of limited amounts of awareness. You can study awareness in animals, even though it's not to the complexity of humans. But to study it in, well, not to be derogative, but a more primitive sense, of course, it shows insights into what consciousness is. It shows insights into what awareness is. Because we know that animals can think in the abstract. You can look at a pod of orca whales that act in concert, that have language, that strategize and plan, that think ahead. So we know that this kind of thought isn't restricted just to humans. We know that there's a bigger world that we're a part of. And I think it's really important that we look to those lessons, that we can use these examples to really inspect ourselves, to understand ourselves better, to understand our awareness better.
Which I think is right in keeping with natural law. Michael, yeah. I think that action, reaction, you know, that, you know, it's a law of physics, really. And I think it's only human beings that think they're above that, in my view.
Well, I think that we're the only ones that think we're above that because we're the only ones that can think we're above that. I'd say that if given a few million more years of evolution, perhaps, or however long it takes, and an orca develops the same kind of sentience that we have, maybe they themselves will think them you know, above other things and above the, you know, natural world or natural law. It, you know, I think that the reason that you find the full spectrum of good to evil to everything in between in humanity is because we have the intelligence, we have the tools, the means to carry out those visions. And so while, you know, I have met some animals that just are not great characters, you know, they're kind of, they're mean, they're nasty, and then I've met animals that are just wonderful no matter what. And, you know, it can be different species, but we've all been there. We've all seen animals that they exhibit the same kind of bullying, you know, that you find in humans, or the same kind of... I have met... Well, let me put it this way. I've never met a cat that wasn't arrogant, so I know that that's definitely represented. So, you know...
That's funny. Well, they are a breed of their own, aren't they?
Yeah. What's the old joke? Worshipped as gods and never forgot it.
Well, I think the, you know, in the keeping of the metaphysical lessons in observing nature is, I think that we have somehow separated ourselves from that. You know, we take over land masses not considering that there's other, you know, whole ecology there. And I don't think it's just about animals. I think it's about the trees and, you know, the ecosystems and how everything does have this balance, and mm-hmm. and how geographically certain life is indigenous to certain areas for a reason. The minute you relocate, you know, these birds to that area, or you know, these cockroaches over there, then, you know, it starts to upset whatever ecology was there. And I think that that's not to say it wouldn't evolve in some regard over great amounts of time, but we inject these things into something that's rather unnatural just because we think we can or we're experimenting. Mm-hmm. And I think that we don't observe enough before we leap to our... own devices of curiosity and our own needs. You know, we're putting our own kinds of, I think, arrogance before our sensibilities in very many ways. And that's why I think we have grown apart from that. And I'm not saying everybody. I think that there's a lot of people who are environmentally conscious. You know, we can talk about climate change. We can talk about a lot of things where people are growing more sensitive to how we are not living in accord with nature, and to, you know, slowly restore that. And I'm really grateful for that. But I think it also has to go into our behaviors and how we, you know, even interact with each other, that action, reaction. And we are not giving each other enough of, let's say, a negative response to say, hey, that's not cool. You know, we just kind of let stuff go, and we're giving permission to poor behavior. And in nature, as you say, you know, there are. I've met all kinds of animals in my life, too, and some of them, even in that breed, you know, there's some of them with their own personality, and they ain't so cool. But they get put in their pit place, or they get tossed out of the crew.
You know? Or they become the alpha.
Yes, you know. I mean,
well, and that's well. Let's also reckon in the same way that I would say that, and I agree with you that humanity does not always, well, always, quite often, does not coexist in a healthy way with the rest of nature. But I will say that nature is not inevitably bent towards what we would consider good. Nature is it is. There is the balance of it, the balance of what can be. And every moment, every living thing is fighting for its place. And that fight is part of nature. And, well, maybe that fight is the wrong word because...
No, I agree. I would have to say that. You know, everything, as Dr. Kelly would say, we live on a planet where everything eats everything.
You know? Well, and we all struggle for our existence. And we do that in both, you know, metaphorical and in real ways. But you know, it's just, it's impressive to look at the balance of the natural world, though, when you look at the harmony that does exist. And I think that we are coming to a place where we are coming into more into balance. And it is, as we recognize the balance that exists, it's been an ignorance of that balance which has led us to the place that we are at now, that it was an ignorance of what the natural world is. It's an ignorance of how we could even be that big of an effect on it. People didn't think, just like you had talked about earlier, you had pointed right at it. But there is the really amazing balance of the world, the cohesion of species. It is really a beautiful thing to behold. And well, I was just going to say, you know, when you see a giant flock of birds that all move almost as one, or if you're watching a documentary, or even if you're snorkeling or scuba diving and you see a large school of fish that, again, acts almost as if one, it kind of lends itself to that idea that everything is entangled, interconnected. And I think we are, too, interconnected with nature, and I think that if we were to, you know, live in a healthier way with nature, we ourselves would be healthier.
I couldn't agree more. You know, we do observe nature to have its violent side, you know, the lion eating the deer, or, you know, it's like...
Well, the lion eating the competitor lion cubs. I mean, that's, you know, murder. I mean, it just is. It's not called that because they're animals, but think about the way that humans behave. Compare it, you know, you have opportunists that they do not see the reason why not to. They only see the benefit to them.
Yeah, I agree there, too. That's why I say that I think there's this violent side. But I think that in that case, Michael, I think those are anomalies. I don't think it's habitual. I think there will be rare cases where, you know, two males standing off, I'm going to eat your young.
Well, I think when it comes to lions, it's more common, but not all species. Yeah. Most species don't do that, of course.
And I think those anomalies, I think what we have in the human race is the anomalies have somehow become a bit of the norm. And it's also what we've done to each other, not just what we have, done to nature, so to speak, and how we're not living in sync with nature, but how we're not living in sync with each other. And I think that's changing as well. I think there are a lot of lessons right now, as we've talked about before. This is a great correction time where we can take lessons from, number one, how we want to live, you know, and spiritually coexist with each other in a human form. But what's better for communities, no matter what you believe in, essentially, is how will we continue to flourish, and along with technology as well. But hopefully everybody can have shelter and eat and carry on with their lives. But we are starting to, and I think we're going to be forced to, in a greater picture, to live more cohesively with the natural world. And I honestly shake my head sometimes. If you've had 14,000 hurricanes and your house has been wiped out 14,000 times, why do you keep rebuilding there? You know what I mean? It's like, I'm just... You know, oh, the storm's coming, you know, bored up. It's really interesting how we don't learn some lessons, but then there's other things where you finally have to say, look, okay, I get it. Right. I get it. And I'm hoping that maybe we are beginning to, in greater numbers, awaken to the few people, again, those anomalies of people who've had a little too much power and, you know, carrying on kind of unscathed, we're onto the game now and saying, wait a minute, what you're doing, we like the benefits in a lot of ways. I like flushing toilets and driving a car, but are there other ways to do it? We do have the technologies to continue to maintain our life now and even a futuristic lifestyle without such harm to
absolutely.
The natural world. And this is where the shift, and again, those certain anomalous behaviors will, and I think they are fewer, but stand out as a norm because it's had a little too much power. Like everybody's afraid of that Lion King, you know, out there in that part of Africa. Don't go there, you know. It's like too much power. So we're starting to, I think, rather than this complacency that, and in many ways an apathy that we've had for a long time, coming out of that. But again, it's that we take lessons from the natural world, like how does that work together? And we have the science and we have this wonderful wonderful amounts of new information, like plants actually do talk to each other and they actually do have an energy and consciousness. Trees will feed the young through the root systems and through fungus before it will feed itself. It's so fascinating that now that we're gaining that insight, what will we do with that now? We just go cut down a whole bunch more trees instead of understanding that those trees in that geography has its own consciousness and not to take more than we need.
Well, that's
and
the
I think
key.
That exactly. That's exactly what I was going to emphasize, Michael, is we take more than is required to maintain even our desires or our wants, and nature in and of itself never hoards, except for chipmunks, you know, they're storing up for the winter, but they only store up what they need for that winter. They're not storing up for 10 years in case, you know, there's really bad winters.
Well, and, you know, historically, human beings haven't been able to do that either. It's only been relatively recently, you know, you could argue that our social systems evolved a lot, sure, you know, and we developed cities, sure, but it wasn't until relatively recently that we really were able to, with modern technology, with the advent of modern farming, factory ranching, etc., that we've really kind of catapulted into this schism between what was and what is now. Mm-hmm. But you know, kind of bringing this back around to, you know, how does this really impact on metaphysics? And it's humanity's relationship with nature. It's understanding our place in the natural world is a fundamental aspect of understanding our world, our awareness of the world, and our place in it. So I think all of that ties into metaphysics. All of that ties into metaphysical awareness. And the lessons really do show us kind of who we are, and potentially where we can go, I think. We look at our own relationship, our own history, we can learn from it. And one thing that I don't think we've really delved into enough is the kind of entanglement that exists between all things. I mean, we kind of touched on it briefly, but I mean, that's a really core and pivotal aspect to this. You know, like the flock of birds moving as one. The fact that an ecosystem has its own energy, has its own vibration, and it has everything kind of acting in that cohesion.
I agree. Well, and I think too, as we use technology, we have to give greater consideration to that entanglement. I mean, a big flock of birds falls down, you know, it's because they hit a whole bunch of electromagnetic frequencies or their radar was off, you know, and for a lot of reasons that we're disturbing that, let alone plastic in the ocean, do we need to talk about? But, I mean, I think that's where how we are all entangled and one thing affects the other. Because, and again, we're back to the law of physics and action-reaction. You know, we contaminate and pollute, and then there's not enough of this to feed. You know, and that's where it gets out of sync and out of balance. So, you know, and that entanglement is required. I think it's a constant that's ever changing.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to become more aware of that. So again, metaphysics being, you know, a combination of philosophy and science, and be mature about this is what I think.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was just going to say, oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to read a couple of comments from Dr. Angie in the chat room. So that's all right.
Oh, absolutely.
So you're saying that animals in their natural environment seem to do fine until humans get involved, and they naturally control their own population, their conflicts, etc. And I from all observations, that's no greater truth right there, Angie. Then she also adds, the same with areas such as the rainforest. It's been doing fine. Some divers recently found an untouched area with coral, and she says it's very beautiful, but she bets it gets destroyed now that humans found it. And I think that's the downfall of our the human curiosity and what we think is our intelligence, what we put value on. Mm-hmm. It's like we have to go dig for those diamonds, and we have to go, you know, mine for coal, and we have to, you know, everything has this value now, of course, the coral, and it's going to be somebody's science project, and oops, I didn't mean to poison it, you know, and it's that we're not studying the big picture as opposed to our myopic kind of needs, and so looking at the long term, which is, again, requires a view, you know, of entanglement instead of just a small view.
Right. You know, I would say that it's not the study of the natural world that's going to endanger it. It's the, the study of coral itself. You know, the marine biologists have done many great things to bring awareness to the, you know, the state of the oceans, the fact that we need to do something.
Yep.
You know, one would hope that through the study of this coral that's been untouched, we can see how things can be. It gives us a realistic expectation of how to restore something to its former self. But it's when it becomes a tourist spot, then it's everybody going to it, everybody wants to see it, it just, you can't. You can't do that and keep a healthy balance. And
or somebody wants to shoot that albino moose, or, you know, there's a rare something and everybody wants to go see it, and somebody wants it as a trophy.
I'd say,
and that's that anomaly, I think, in humanity, where it's there's those very small numbers that upset the scheme, and it's about containing that anomaly, not letting it be normalized and taking it to task, because there's no consequence equal to the offense, I think. So or at least that would contain the offense. Because, you know, it's kind of like we all have our own ideas of what is a discipline or a punishment. And, you know, I look at some families and they have certain philosophies to raising kids, and I'm seeing they're running around like little brats. And I'm saying, I think in the result of what you have, you ought to see it's not working. You know?
Well.
But
I will
again,
say this, kids that behave well as children do not always grow up to be good adults.
No, I agree with that completely, but I'm talking about whether those kids are allowed to damaging.
Have to establish boundaries, and children need, you know, authority. You have to be the parent. You have to be the dominant person in the relationship, at least in that phase of the life. It needs to be because of the human animal that we are.
So, I mean, we go through phases of this, right? And I think largely I had a discussion with somebody not too long ago about how we are recovering. In short, we're recovering from the last 2 or 3 decades of the me movement. You know, everything was, what about me? And for me, everything is. And I think that was the downside of building self-esteem. Self-esteem went into a kind of a narcissism. And that, you know, kind of filters down. And I honestly see it in schools now, little grade school kids. I watch it in my grandkids. And teachers are afraid of the children because somebody could report something. Even if kids are very sophisticated now, they can make crap up that in my day we wouldn't have thought to make that up, you know, and they see something on television and they know that they don't know the long-term consequence of it. They only know that they're getting an immediate gratification, or they're having a bad mood, and not seeing it as a bad mood, they're taking a whole bunch of people with them. And I think this is where everybody's beginning to realize there are some errors here, and we have to correct some of those errors. The problem is a lot of people don't quite know how yet. And I think when we look to the natural world, our answers are all there. All the answers are right in front of us if we'll just suck it up for a second and say, okay, I need to observe and I need to relearn my skills in everything from how I live my daily life, how I interact with people. Watch what I say, because there's consequence. You can't take back those words once they're out, you know, and how we raise our children. So the natural world, I really do. I often said this years ago when I started training horses. Oh, I had to learn so much about myself, like every gesture, every movement, and how a horse responds to that in the round pen training. And I said, I had no business having kids until I learned how to train animals. Hmm. I would have made a way better parent, because how everything outside yourself, everybody is looking to you in that role, that alpha role for a minute. It's not just what I say, it's what I do.
Oh, absolutely.
And how that collides in the psyche. Animals are not forgiving that way. They are only going to follow. They don't know. They don't speak English. They only know tones and gestures. And then we're telepathically interacting with them in ways that is really astounding if we are sensitive to that. But if then that's going on with nature, how much of that is going on with each other?
Mm-hmm.
And to be more responsible in that way. But here again, we all have differing realities. And I think that's the key, is figuring out for ourselves what is the agreed upon reality that we live in. And but that would be the metaphysical lesson, wouldn't it?
That's a tough question. I don't even know if we have an agreed upon reality much these days.
I know. I was telling Michael before the program, it seems to me we're watching this big soap opera in the world, you know, and it's like, oh, there's this layer going over on, you know, behind this scene and that one over there. And then, oh, the camera, you know, suddenly it got edited, cut away over to so-and-so's house, and everybody's living these different realities. I'm going, whoa, you know. It's a really interesting time where, Dr. Angie says, family and friends can't even agree. It's so true. I mean, this is what we're sorting out right now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we need to really look at. And I know the group here today and the students at IMHS and TFU, we're doing our best to do that. We're self-evaluating. We are expanding our minds and our consciousness and changing ourselves to become better human beings. And that's the key. And I think that it is schools like IMHS and TFU that's so helpful for that and to become living examples of that. But in our dialogue, rather than saying, you know, I mean, if people are stumped about metaphysics and disagreeable, then just having these other conversations about the natural world, you know, mm-hmm. and how we can better coexist with the natural world and what the ramifications have been and will continue to be if we don't, you know. And I think that could set us into a thread of a shared reality, I think.
Well, and I think that we are making progress, and we've talked a lot about, you know, the relationship that we have with nature. I think there is an awakening kind of going on, although, and maybe I'm alone in this, I'm really starting to get sick of the term woke. It's really lived in, it's gone on enough. We need to retire that particular phrase, but we are becoming more
awake. Awake. Is the correct. But okay, there's different ways. That I believe that term, although I can totally stand to be corrected on this, mm-hmm. but largely during the time of Sandy Rock a few years ago, that was, you know, through the indigenous people, that was a term that got kind of used to be woke. And
it predates Standing Rock. It's it's really a millennial term in terms of, it means enlightened, aware, more aware of what's going on, just like what we're talking about it, but it's been overused, and it's used by people that, I'm going to go ahead and talk for the next 15 minutes just about this, and you guys can't stop me. But it's just been overused, especially by people that are not woke at all. They're not enlightened in any way, shape, or form, but they love to use the word. But I digress. And it's been a fascinating discussion. I've been trying to buy time to put into chat here that we're going to be pulling cards pretty soon, too. So while we're kind of wrapping up this discussion, I'll give people a chance to throw your name in chat if you do want us to pull a card for you.
But, well, Jamil just put in the chat, it said that we're entering the fifth dimension of consciousness, and I agree. I mean, I think that we are naturally entering, adding a dimension of consciousness. Some people might not call it the fifth dimension of consciousness, like the fifth, inferring that, you know, we're awake to
thank you.
How we're telepathically and energetically connected, and how there are those other communications going on all the time. We have to be awake to it, and it's going to happen whether we're awake or not. But where that takes us, I mean, I think that this is humanity's opportunity to right itself, no matter what shifts and changes the universe. We're either with it or we're, you know, swimming upstream.
Well, let's look at the recent headway we've made. We've, you know, we've had the Me Too movement, which is only doing a fraction of the work that probably needs to be done, but it's bringing awareness, and that's the first step in towards something better, a better world, a world where there is more awareness of what's going on. Just like the George Floyd protests are bringing a heightened level of awareness that will hopefully have a fundamental societal shift, and we will live in a better world. We can live in a better world. We just have to be the ones to build it. We have to be the ones to create it. And we can't leave it to the next generation. We can't just keep doing that. We have to do it now.
Well, Dr. Angie adds that we have technology that connects us in ways we never have before, which is totally true.
Mm-hmm.
And the shared information is shifting consciousness faster than people can keep up. And I think part of that is we're trying to decipher what's opinion versus fact, the editorial versus the news, you know. And, I mean, that's what we have to kind of check in with ourselves, you know, in those ways to know what's what. I know. I just want to add in that Dr. Edward thinks that Dolores Cannon was one of the late Dolores Cannon, by the way, was one of the first who coined the term woke. So that could very well be. Thanks for sharing that, Edward.
Interesting.
All right, so we do have some names in their chat. So thanks for letting Michael and I philosophize, everyone, and for your little bits thrown into the chat. That's awesome. I like these discussions because it stimulates new ideas. It stimulates, I'm hoping, conversations outside of just this program that you might have with your friends or your family or even sometimes a coworker, you know, and that... You know, as my daughter has recently, my eldest has recently said that she's felt she's quite alone a lot of the time philosophically in her community until she throws in, you know, an odd little one-liner and then somebody goes, oh, do you believe in that too? And then they will have an existential conversation. So sometimes it just throws something out there and get people talking, you know.
Yeah.
And at the very least, you find out where people are at in their evolution. And it's very interesting, so... There we go.
It is, and it's always been it's always fascinating discussions, and time really does fly by.
And it does. So let's go.
Let's go.
Absolutely. Dr. Edward is first. Michael, what do you have? We'll do the same, everybody. For those newcomers who might be listening or in the archives, Michael's going to pull a inner oracle self-discovery card.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Kelly's invention, and then in support of that, I'm going to pull a tarot card, and we're just going to see what vibrations we pick up in the cosmos.
All right, going for those cosmic vibrations.
All right,
and I have number 10, indomitable power of the human spirit. The human spirit is unequaled in power. Nothing can defeat it. Within your creative ability, you are a powerhouse of energy that can be channeled into any endeavor. Given time, nothing is out of reach for you. Claim your power and live up to your human potential. Apply your powerful spirit to overcoming whichever obstacles stand in your way.
Well, Edward, I pulled one and I couldn't quite figure out how would that apply, so I pulled another one. Here's what it looks like. So you've got the indomitable power of the human spirit, and I pulled the Queen of Hearts, and then I pulled the Page of Hearts. So for those in tarot language, it's the Queen of Cups, and the Page of Cups is that communicator between the minor arcana and the major arcana, the two languages that merge together to make the tarot. So I'm going to say to you that this, I'm going to go with intuition on this, and meaning your intuition, that you're activating your intuition. We know that, you know, in recent years, Edward, you've overcome some pretty big challenges, and following your intuition and the will of your spirit, and now you're communicating that. So, and it could be indicative also of the feminine side, the different kind of insightful side, and the sensitivity that's growing in you. So I'm going to say that there's a calming in your confidence and your self-certainty, and you're starting to communicate better with others. And I'll go out on a limb here and say, even with regard to a partnership or some intimate relationship that you have in your life. So I'm going to say that this is again purely intuitive on my part. It's something's expanded in you, and you're just starting to become aware of that. So there's a growing, you're in a growing curve. I really like it. So
very nice.
That's what I think. Okay, all we right. Have Dr. Shirley up next.
We do, and I pulled number 4, past, present, and future.
Oh, didn't we have that before? I'm feeling maybe it wasn't for Dr. Shirley, but I just had a little flash there that we pulled that one for her before.
Yeah, I think we did recently. If it does feel familiar, I'll give you that.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry, Michael.
Oh, no worries. The 3 universal laws of personal responsibility are, 1, you are accountable for your past, present, and future. 2, don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. 3, don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor.
Well, Shirley, I really like that I pulled the star in support of that for you. And by the way, thanks Irma for saying that she had that past, present, future last week. I knew it was resonating recent. But for Shirley, past, present, future, I know, as I recall, Shirley, you recently made a move in your life and some changes. And I think it's a really good change that you've made. And this is saying that reflective of taking inventory, in a way, gathering those energies. And I see that now you're starting to visualize. And see, the star is also about water. Right, and that flow of consciousness and keeping of movement going. So I'm going to say here that it's like you're beginning to create your dream and keep that going. So, you know, from the past, present, future, you're creating a new flow of energy, and it's a really good one. I like it. Positive.
Very nice.
Yeah. Wendy is up next, Michael.
And for Wendy, I pulled number 16, the continuity of life. Human consciousness transcends the physical body, allowing a new chapter of life to continue. Stability and peace is assured with the continuity and the flow of day-to-day life. There is reason to hope for a favorable outcome in the face of adversity or a difficult situation. You are a living example of the continuity of life. Cherished values will continue to live and grow. Sometimes, we must allow a current chapter to close so that a new chapter can begin.
Oh, I like that one. And I like that I pulled the 8 of Hearts for you, Wendy. Now, I call the 8 of Hearts one of the back cards in the tarot, meaning It can very often reflect radar, intuition, kind of walking in the dark. You're not really clear, but you're following your gut instincts, and you can be assured of the destination following that. So you're navigating from your heart and trusting that where you're going is exactly where you're supposed to be. So even in transitions, you know, that there is this flow of energy and you're on the right track for you. I like that a lot.
All right. I believe that Dr. Angie is up next, and I don't think we have anybody else, but if we did miss a name, go ahead and throw it back in chat, or if you are interested, go ahead and throw your name in. But Dr. Angie, I pulled wild card number 9, blank. That's always a fun one.
Drawing one of my favorites, sorry.
No, it's fine. It's a good one. Drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers you seek. This card is what you want it to be. It is what you need it to be. It is all that you desire it to be. Remember that the unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices, in the loudest of ways, often overlooked. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep, for your answers lay within.
Well, in support of that, Angie, I got the 7 of Diamonds. Tarot language, that would be the 7 of Pentacles. And that would say, I always see that kind of as a harvest card. You know, after all the work, he's starting to harvest the benefits, and that you're starting to take inventory of what you have. Think of sometime in the fall, you know, you harvested the garden, you're doing your canning, putting stuff away. With the blank card and the 7 of Diamonds, I'd say it's a really good moment to take inventory and say, wow, I'm really grateful for all this. This is good. You know what? We've come through a lot. And to remind yourself that you've come through a lot and that you're continuing to do that. So you're always building on good as opposed to what you don't have. And I'm not saying that you do that. I'm just saying that I just think it's an inventory time. Like all the blessings that you have, you're working towards something else, and you're going to harvest the benefits of that also, you know, and as the cycles of life go. So whatever it is that you want to create and harvest for yourself next is going to be yours. So, you know, Angie says, I try to run before I walk, set myself back, and then get discouraged. I totally get it. I've done it myself. Yeah.
It's so human.
Go ahead.
I was just saying that's such a very human thing to do, I think.
It is. It's that tendency. So it's take inventory. And as you work toward new things, and she's just saying that she's been ill a lot in the last number of years. She's healed, but her body still has to catch up. So this is, you know, very often I get, especially after a winter, and I haven't had a lot of exercise, I have to get this mental discipline to get out walking every day, to do some stretches. And it has to be so ingrained in my brain that nothing else is going to matter today before I do that walk, you know, or before I do that something. So it's a blank. What do you want to accomplish? What would you like your body to do for you this week? You know, a little bit of walking and just kind of integrating the mind with the body spiritually. So emotionally, intellectually, all reconnecting and plugging in so you can move forward and harvest that next stage. So I think it's a really powerful message for you, Angie. And thanks for the feedback in the chat, Wendy. And yeah. I'd also like to, Irma says she didn't ask for a card this week. Sometimes she just enjoys listening to the messages, and sometimes it could be a universal message. A card for someone else could also have a meaning for another person. That's absolutely true,
Irma. So great. And, you know, speaking of things, I was just going to touch on the same thing, because it's been very often that we'll pull a card for someone else and it'll just resonate with me. And I'm like, huh. And they, as Dr. Kelly likes to say, they're designed to make you think, and that's what it's been. That's what it's done for me too. So
yeah, that's fabulous. Yeah.
But anyway, and I think that's about all we have. And it's been a fascinating discussion tonight. I've really enjoyed it.
I've enjoyed it.
But then again, I've always enjoyed it. When's the last time we had a bad discussion? Think about it.
Never.
Exactly.
We're a good team, Michael.
Exactly.
We're a good group, too.
We are.
Yeah.
You know, the input that we get from those that join us at the live broadcast really does. It helps for a vibrant discussion. And thank you all for joining us tonight. We've had a great discussion about the metaphysics of nature, how entangled we are, the entangled reality that we all share, theoretically, and the balance that we need to find in life. We talked about how the natural world affects us, the implications for awareness, the lessons that can be found from nature, and as always, we pulled cards that, as Irma was very wise to point out, they hopefully make more than just the, you know, the person we pulled it for think. And I hope that even those listening to the archives are able to take something away from that. I hope that it has resonated for somebody at some point in time, and that it just, it hits you just the right way at just the right time. But
now next week, Dr. Kelly is with us, I believe.
Yeah.
Correct, Michael?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
The first Wednesday of every month, Dr. Kelly joins us on the program, and we look forward to that, and hopefully all of you can be here with us again.
Yes, we look forward to you joining us, and I always look forward to Dr. Kelly joining us. That means that you know, he gets to do all the talking, and we don't have to think about a topic. Come on, that's... No, I joke. It's actually one of the more enjoyable things that I look forward to, is to try thinking about things to talk about, and some of the greatest ones have come from you, Dr. Hunter, so it's always, like I said, always a good time. So thank you all for joining us.
You get credit for tonight. That was a great topic for
tonight.
Oh,
thank you.
Good take. So.
Well, I'm looking forward to you joining us next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.